This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming, to movies, TV shows and pop culture, to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you from Chicago, USA, with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
This is Mason Vera Payne, live from the MVP Studios in Chicago, and thank you for tuning in. You know, networking is a staple in everyday life. Many opportunities are based on who you know more so than what you know. So, is that a bad thing? What if you're not in a position to network? Or more importantly, know how? Well, joining me to answer these questions and more, success strategist Carlotta Zimmerman. Thanks for joining me, Carlotta.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Could you tell me, where did the title success strategist come from?
Before this business, I started this business in 2008, and I was using a different title, which is the Creativity Yenta, which I guess appealed to a different sort of audience. And then the more you get involved with your business, as any entrepreneur knows, you know, you start a business with one vision, and then you start doing it, and you're like, that's not really, that vision is not what has really transpired. So I guess a short answer, it came from being a very type A personality and trying to appeal to more people who didn't really know what a Yenta was and were like, I'm intrigued, yet confused.
As a success strategist, what exactly do you do?
That is a good question. I feel like I spend a lot of my days now telling clients to relax when they call me in a panic. I work with artists, TV and film actors, attorneys, doctors, politicians, people, really anyone who's looking to figure out a more strategic way to identify and attain their professional goals. So I've helped clients start successful small businesses, negotiate raises, get jobs, get better jobs, you name it, I've done it.
You know, that revolves a lot around networking. How important do you think networking is?
Well, I mean, I'm obsessed with it because I can honestly say I've been networking since I was about 17 before I did this business, which I really networked it at the beginning because I started it after I graduated law school, which was a very expensive life lesson. So when I started this business in 08, I had no money, and I really networked the first 100 clients, me and friends of mine. And before that, I was in network news in Russia and the U.S. I networked all of my jobs there. I think, if anything, I'm more surprised. Well, I guess I shouldn't be surprised anymore. But when people say they don't believe in networking, I always find that hilarious. It's like, I'm like, networking is like gravity. It has nothing to do with your belief. It exists outside of you. So all you're doing is hurting yourself if you're like, oh, I don't believe in networking.
I've always been scared of networking. My first experience with it, I went to some art event with a friend who worked in radio. And at the time I was still a student. So I went there and I was all dressed up. And this one woman came up to me and she was like, oh, you know, like, oh, how are you? And I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm good. How are you? And, you know, we exchanged the common conversation. And finally she asked me, oh, what do you do? Like, how did you get in here? I said, oh, my friend, I'm just a student. And she was like, oh, that's wonderful. And she about faced and walked away.
Oh, that's horrible.
Yeah. But that was my first experience with networking. And I've been so scared ever since. I mean, like, how would you deal, like, in that kind of situation where you have really nothing to offer other than being like a student, or maybe not a student, maybe you're a manager? What would you do at like something like that?
Okay, well, first of all, I wouldn't say you have nothing to offer. I would say that you're not, at that point, you were young, you weren't used to networking. That woman behaved horribly because she could have also said, oh, you know what, I think there's some other students, let me introduce you. The problem I think a lot of people have with networking is they feel like they don't know what to ask for. It's not so much about asking, it's about making connections. So in a sense, what you experienced is like the first time you do something difficult, like learning to ride a bike, you had a nasty experience, which psychologically it's like, ugh, networking, that woman was horrible, that's not about you, that's about her. So if you were my client, I'd be like, we're going to jump right back into it. You have a ton of stuff to offer. And if, even whether you're just quote-unquote as a student, because I think a lot of people at these events, if you see students there, the young people, and they've looked through, I mean, if we were going to go back in time, I would have had you look at who else has RSVP'd, if you can get a list of that. I know that you were there just as somebody's plus one. Who has RSVP'd? Is there even one person on that list who works for a company or has a job that make your ears kind of perk up and you think, huh, what's that like? Okay, make a plan that you're going to go speak to that person. What is it about his or her job, business, industry that fascinates you? We put so much pressure on ourselves going into these networking situations, like there's one perfect thing to say. And the story I always tell people, so as I said, I've been networking since I was 17. When I was going into my third year of law school, and all I could tell you was I already knew I didn't want to be a lawyer, and I'm not going to take you down the rabbit hole with me of how I got into law school or any of that. But I knew I was graduating in a year. I knew I had to get a job. And somebody told me that there was a grad school and professional, like DC jobs networking event at on the campus of my law school. I went to Indiana University Bloomington, and Indiana University sends a lot of people into political fields. So I go to this event. I have no clue. I was just dressed nicely. I have a very interesting conversation with this guy. I think he told me his name was Alex or something. We have a conversation about Russia history. I lived in Russia for a number of years. And the next day, this guy emails me, and it turns out he was actually a recruiter for the CIA.
Oh, wow.
And he was like, I'd really like you to apply. I was very impressed. Please, you know, I'm going to send you an application packet. And I did go through the whole CIA application thing, and I am not in the CIA, if your listeners are like, go on. But I mean, it was just, it was just like, we talked about the news, we talked about Russia, blah, blah, blah. And the next day he's like, and we'd really like you to apply. And I think that people going into networking things, they feel in their head, like, I have to know exactly what I want and how these people are going to help me. There's no way you could know that. You just need to go in there with even the basics of an idea, like, okay, I look through the list. There's these two people from companies I'm really interested. I have researched these companies. I have one or two intelligent questions. I'm just going to allow myself to have a conversation. That's all you need to have, especially if you're a young person, because that's an informational interview. I'm able to see how you present, that you've researched, that you have passion, that you're intellectually curious. That's a very important thing. And I'm sorry that you had to deal with somebody who was very unpleasant.
Well, you know, it was the first time. And after that, the way I would network, and even now, it's through introduction. So it's like, oh, mm-hmm. you know, hey, you know, so-and-so, you know, send them an email about me and kind of introduce me to them. But my thing is the research portion. Let's say I don't have that introduction. How do you just go up to a person and, I mean, and introduce yourself? To me, that's whoa.
Well, in general or in a specific event?
Yeah, like at a specific event, like you said, you did some research, you looked at the people who were there, and you're like, I want to talk to person A. I mean, do you just walk up to person A and say, hey, hi, I'm Mason?
Yes, because they're at this networking event with you. So they obviously want to meet you. That's exactly. I know that sounds crazy, but at this point, also, since I've been doing this since I was 17 and I've networked this entire business, I mean, I networked this business into getting a client in the Obama White House in the West Wing. So at this point, I network with anyone. But especially if you are going to some kind of event where there's a public guest list and people have RSVP'd, 100%, you should at least the night before go through that whole list, Google them, put their names into a search in LinkedIn. If you can even find, because think about it, the whole thing about networking, what you're asking me is about confidence. So if you can make, let's say, even two people on the list who you're like, I'm interested, I'm going to talk to them. It's not about becoming their best friends. It's just about having some kind of human connection, where that you can then follow up with. That's what's going to get you jobs. And if you have these two conversations, and again, you're not trying to be their best friend, you're just trying to have a conversation of adults. When you achieve that, and their odds are that they're going to be a little bit more receptive than you would think, I mean, they're at this event to network, to meet people. You achieve that and you have those conversations, you'll be like, oh, maybe I'll go talk to somebody else. I think, you know, So we tend to judge ourselves so harshly, and people unfortunately presume the worst. But if somebody is if they're going to an event, they're there to network. And I would also just take it back a step, because you're like, well, what if I don't have those connections? If you went to college or graduate school in the United States and you join your alumni association, unless you went to a very, very, very small college or a very, very new college, that alumni association, you're already probably 6 degrees of separation from the people you want to meet. So you do have an introduction.
That's a good tip. Okay, let's say person A finds you interesting and says, you know what, I want something Mason has that I want to use. And they keep asking, you know, me for favors. At what point is that kind of being used, or am I just not being confident enough to say, hey, I need something from you too?
That's a good question, isn't it? Some of it is you have to trust your gut. And how are they, like, the first time you helped them, and I frequently, as somebody who's always networking, I mean, as an entrepreneur, you're always networking to create options. Just today, I made a huge business thing because there's this place that I love, and I want to do my own workshops with them, and I gave them idea for their corporate event. They were like, oh, do we have to pay you for this idea? I was like, no, of course, just take it. So then they were interested to hear my other idea. But if it's somebody that you've been consistently helping, at least after the first or second time, do they turn around and offer you anything equally valuable? That would be one thing. If they don't, you've helped them. You're going to have to be very clear. And this can be hard because you feel you're kind of presuming a no. You're presuming that you're going to get rejected, but you've helped them. You are completely in the right to say, you know what, that was my pleasure, but I can't help but notice that you know XYZ. I'd love to get introduced to this person. Can you make that happen? And sometimes I think people promise more than they can do. So if they can't help you, you have to just try not to take it personally and realize that it could be them.
Yeah, I can see that. That has happened to me where a woman said she could help me out. And it was for this is a long time ago, for a business I tried to open up. And she ended up just using all my equipment. And she kept promising that she could do this and introduce me to this person and that person. And she never did it. And I did take it personal. I was like, oh, really? And I ended up kind of just cutting it off from her. But it was really funny. Even like months afterwards, she would still email or call saying, hey, what are you doing? And I'm like,
You were like trying not to kill you.
No, well, it's trying to maintain that professional courtesy because she was more well-connected than I was. And she knew more people, but it kind of felt like when you're at the bottom of the rung, they tend to know that and they want to take advantage of you. I mean, how do you navigate that portion? Should you act bigger than what you are?
Well, I think we all do that, but I think it's also, I mean, everybody does that. But I really do think that when somebody comes, I mean, I have people who come to me all the time for favors. Like I just spoke at the big small business expo and I had people attending one of my workshops and they were like, oh, we'd love to talk with you about doing some synergy on collaborating together. And it was like, why? And in my head, I was thinking like, why would I collaborate with you? I'm not really seeing it. But of course, outwardly, I was like, sure, send me an email. Let's talk. I mean, but then of course, once I had done my research, I was like, no, this is never going to work. I just think, again, you're going to have to be very careful about who, trust your gut a lot of times and realize, I mean, I think also, you know, you gave this woman a lot of power the way you're like, she was more connected than you. That may have been, but you obviously had equipment that she really needed. So however connected she was, on one level, I know that she wasn't doing as well as she said, because why was she using your equipment so much, right? Like, she should be at a level where she can do all of that stuff herself.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, she could have paid for her own studio, but she ended up using my equipment.
Or could she have?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's a good point, too.
That's my point. She probably couldn't have. This is something we all as entrepreneurs really have to learn. Like, just because somebody has a phenomenal online presence and 100 or 300,000 followers, I've had clients like that who were on national TV shows, not going to mention the names, of course, but then the reality of their situation was like, there was nothing, there was no money. So my gut is telling me with that woman, again, one of the reasons she probably didn't help you was, you know, she was jealous, she's using your equipment, but she also may not have had the resources to help you.
Do you think social media has changed the way networking is?
I think, unfortunately, maybe for younger people who never, most of them, I don't think, get the training to really understand how valuable networking is. I think it's going to, unfortunately, because you have a lot of younger people who are just uncomfortable meeting face-to-face. And networking, no matter how great it is online, and I mean, I've used my social media to get clients as far away as South Africa, at a certain point, you have to meet, whether in person or a video chat, but you have to meet in some way. And if you're not doing that, I think that there's so much wasted potential. So yes, I think social media, it's changing everything. It's changing how we relate to other people, and that's a big part of networking, how we relate to others and ourselves.
So video chatting would be appropriate? So like if, you know, someone couldn't afford to go to the West Coast, East Coast, if they're living in the Midwest, you know, that would be appropriate? Like, hey, let's meet up on, you know, video chatting.
Maybe. It really depends. You know, like it's like a situation by situation thing. If I am in the Midwest and maybe I just graduated college and I'm really interested in a certain law school and the law school is like, oh, these alumni are willing to answer questions, and maybe that alumni and you have a video chat, that could be appropriate. If they want to do that, I would say if you're trying a job interview, like if you get the number of the CEO of a firm, that could be very inappropriate.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I think you should pay to go out to see someone like that.
Well, that's the problem. Like, people don't know that. And you get somebody's private number. I've had clients who are like, yeah, I'm just going to go FaceTime this person. It's 9 o'clock at night. And I'm like, they're going to kill you. it's a generational thing. I mean, I don't want to be just called FaceTime by people at 10 o'clock after like I'm in my pajamas. That's why I really do feel that networking is something. There's a lot of people, they just honestly don't know these things. They don't know that, like, yes, somebody who went to your alma mater or your grad school, you two can network, even if you do not personally know this person. If you have something in common, that is the basis of networking. I mean, networking, it says, your network is as big or small as you allow it to. So it could be if you go to church or synagogue regularly, if you coach Little League, if you, whatever you do, like your network is as big or small as you allow it to be.
You know, that's true. I had a guy come out to fix my air conditioner unit, and just in conversation, we're just talking back and forth. He was like, yeah, you know, I golf with, I forgot what he said, some council person in, I think it was LaGrange, Illinois. And I was like, what, my AC guy? He golfs with people who, you know, politicians. And right, yeah, just from golfing, he goes to the golf course, he owns his own business, and he's like, yeah, I golf with all these people. And he's like, I know all of them. And I was talking about that with my brother-in-law, and he golfs too. And I started thinking, like, man, you know, as a woman, I'm not gonna golf, or can I golf? Or, you know, I started thinking, where can I go just to hang out and meet people? Because they're just meeting people on the golf course. And I'm like, I feel like I'm missing out.
Well, I guess you could join a country club. That's one way. I mean, that's another reason people join those things, country clubs or community center. But yeah, there's a reason, like when politicians go golfing, that you want to be there because you're getting unbelievable access.
What about churches? Like, could you use those too? Or like, you know,
you
not
can
saying
use anybody go. Yeah, you could use your church. I mean, but use is a dangerous word here, because that kind of reveals that you think networking is about using. Honestly, when you're networking correctly, you're helping the other person as much as they're helping you. It just takes time. I think that's another thing. Like, you can network anywhere. Your church, in line at Starbucks, you can start a conversation. I mean, I've done that. That's led to me getting clients at the gym. If you're, if your daughter's in Girl Scout or your son is in Boy Scout, people network there all the time, because sometimes what we have in common is maybe both of our kids go to Boy Scout and you and I always hang out and talk. And that's going to like lead to conversations. I mean, networking, when you're doing it intelligently, it's helping people and giving them a reason to help you. I mean, sometimes the reason is you both went to the same college, but other times the reason could just be that you've seen each other at church for years, you're friends, and you know that her husband is looking for a job, and you think that your husband's firm would be a great place for him, and you network him a job.
Well, thank you so much for coming on, Carlotta. I really appreciate you being here. You have wonderful insight about networking.
Oh, thank you so much.
For those listening, if you want to know more about Carlotta Zimmerman, visit her website at carlottaworld.com.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Head to wgnradio.com for exclusive content by Mason. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter @MasonVeraPayne, that's all one word, and don't forget to share the show with your friends.